Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of November 18, 2022. This week we pray for those dealing with illnesses and for our country and the world as events unfold, that wise leaders would seek peace and that people everywhere would direct their eyes to the Savior Jesus. Our first reading is from Malachi chapter 3. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord, but you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Our next reading is from Colossians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul writes, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Our next reading, our gospel reading, is from Luke chapter 23. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, this is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. The reading for our discussion comes from Matthew chapter 23. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders. But they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. And they love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing, but if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing, but if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he is bound by his oath. You blind men, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altar, swears by it and by everything on it, and whoever swears by the temple, swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others, you blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous, saying, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. Thus you witness against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up, then, the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you brood of vipers. How are you to escape being sentenced to hell? Therefore I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify, and some you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from town to town, so that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Recently, we watched the now classic, I suppose, movie Superman, the one from 1978 with Christopher Reeve, Gene Hackman, Marlon Brando, and others. Brando played Superman's father on the planet Krypton. My wife likes to go back and read about these productions. You can go to IMDb or find articles about these things. And she read that Christopher Reeve, who took his role very seriously, complained about Marlon Brando, the older actor. Brando was getting close to the final years of his career in acting, and he just wasn't taking his part very seriously, not even really memorizing his lines and such. You might say that he was phoning it in. When you are new to something and it is fresh to you, you may work hard and find great excitement in your task. If you can always keep that level of excitement in everything you do, that is great. But there are a lot of things in life where there is a certain point you might kind of phone it in. We know that the most important part of our Christmas celebrations is the worship of our Savior and remembering His birth, His coming into the world and taking on human flesh. But when it comes to the external things, putting up the tree and all the decorations and shopping for things, those activities might lose a little bit of their luster over the years. When it comes to getting excited about all the external things we used to be excited about as children, we might kind of phone it in. We enjoy those external things a lot more when someone else is organizing and putting them together. When it comes to our children, though, it can become more fun again. We get to see their excitement and how much they enjoy the season. There are certain offices and jobs where there are people in them who have been there a really long time. People can become disinterested over the years, phoning it in, jaded, and even corrupt over time. And sometimes when there needs to be freshness, when there needs to be changes made to make things better, to find people who are not phoning it in, we may not see those necessary changes get made. Sometimes in life, we need to reassess the things we're doing and find that hunger again. We can find that hunger sometimes by making big changes or even by making small changes that renew our ways and our outlook. Sometimes we need to drop things that we are constantly doing that we've been doing for many years. The arrival of Jesus on the scene from the beginning of his ministry to the end constantly made anyone in his presence reassess their lives or face a great dissonance regarding their actions. Think of the disciples who completely left their fishing nets and their families and simply followed Jesus. When people encountered Jesus, they had to reassess everything about themselves and the world around them. Back in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus made a comparison between the so-called lowlifes of society and the chief priests and elders of the people who were questioning his authority. Now, lowlife isn't his word, it's my word, because that is the way their society saw tax collectors and prostitutes. This is what Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him." The Pharisees, the leaders in Jerusalem in the temple, were not the people that were praising Jesus with loud hosannas on Palm Sunday. This was a different group of people. Jesus is going to call the scribes and Pharisees out for phoning it in, for doing all the things that they've always done. Think back to the founding of our nation and the presidency. Think of George Washington. If you asked anyone about the first president, George Washington, I think most would say that he was one of the most important and greatest presidents ever. Was he considered one of the greatest by virtue of his being the first one? Based on what we know about his life, I think it's more than that. He was a great general and a great leader in so many ways. When you think of the presidency today, do people have that same kind of respect for the office holder as they would for George Washington? I don't think so. You could probably say that going back even to World War II and before, the most respected president among people today after George Washington, going back in history, is probably Abraham Lincoln. Jesus said, that the scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Moses was a great prophet and leader, ultimately far more important in the grand scheme of world history even than George Washington. What about those who came after Moses? They became less significant. Certainly, there were some great prophets, some important priests, but none would ever have the greatness of Moses among the leaders of the people. They had reached a point in history when the leaders of the people were phoning it in. Jesus urges the people to obey them, just as we consider how we should obey our mother and father, keeping the fourth commandment. But Jesus urges people not to follow in their example, as he says, "For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger." There were times in history when kings demanded taxes for keeping their wars and projects going, and when the taxes had been collected and the people had nothing left to tax, the kings still demanded more. Over time, that can happen in any government, even with today's politicians and governments. This is the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about. Jesus said, "They do all their deeds to be seen by others." Everything with them was about appearances, making everything they did look good, but not really doing what was good and right and true. Jesus calls them out. They had these things called phylacteries that they would strap to their head and put scripture in it. The dictionary describes it this way: a small leather box containing Hebrew texts on vellum worn by Jewish men at morning prayers, a reminder to keep the law. I believe that this kind of thing was a later development. I don't think this was something that Moses commanded. But that's the way practices can progress. Early on, there are certain laws and commands, but over time, the way those things are observed can become unrecognizable. The laws can become a burden on everyone else. And those who make those laws don't follow them. So it was, you had these Pharisees practicing these things, but they weren't necessary. They put this heavy burden on the people, but not themselves. In the meantime, they love to be recognized in public and to have people call them by their titles. For us, Jesus commends us to honor only one, our Father in heaven, our God. To be great, you must be a servant. And so Jesus states that paradox again: those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus continues his woes upon the scribes and Pharisees, calling them hypocrites. You shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. Think of medieval indulgences. There was nothing salvific in them, nothing that could make anyone right with God there, which is why Martin Luther called the practice out. He directed people to the book of Romans, reminding Christians to direct their eyes to Christ as the only means of salvation. Jesus also described their disciples. We've often seen those in charge collect little followers, and so often those followers can be more insufferable than the person who is teaching and guiding them. We call those people sycophants. Jesus said the Pharisees made their proselytes twice as much a child of hell as themselves. Then he calls the Pharisees blind guides. He calls out their swearing by the gold of the temple or the gift on the altar, while it is the temple and altar themselves that should be sacred. And the one who makes the temple sacred in the first place is God himself. Eventually, that temple they see as so precious is going to go away. Jesus speaks of the scribes and Pharisees, of tithing of everything they have, when it is almost immaterial in comparison to trying to keep with actual righteousness and justice. He speaks of the Pharisees of cleaning the outsides of cups and plates before cleaning what is inside. He speaks of the scribes and Pharisees as being like whitewashed tombs. They look good on the outside, but their righteousness inside is filthy. It is not righteousness at all. He speaks of them as claiming they would not be like their fathers who persecuted the prophets, yet they are their descendants. When God gives the Ten Commandments, going back into Exodus chapter 20, he says, For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. For how many generations had the leaders in Jerusalem continually dishonored God? So often, it is the case that those who really want power and authority are often the people who should never have it at all in the first place because they will abuse it. Jesus says, therefore, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify, and some you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from town to town, so that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. Jesus speaks of the prophets. Jesus speaks of Moses, so crucial among the prophets. In Deuteronomy 18, Moses said this, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Jesus fulfills this saying of Moses. Think of all the prophets that were persecuted by those in leadership, those who dishonored God. Jesus is going to be the cornerstone, chief of them all, the stone the builders rejected, but marvelous in our eyes, the pinnacle of all the prophets that they had ever rejected, going all the way back to the innocent blood of Abel. Jesus is in the tradition of Abel. They are all in the tradition of Cain. The Pharisees and scribes are not righteous. They are lawless. Jesus talks of them killing and crucifying the prophets. Jesus is going to be another one of these. He is the son of the vineyard owner who is thrown outside the vineyard and murdered. I'm referring back to the parable in Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 to 46. When people, through corruption and bribery, infiltrate important posts, you can end up with that kind of lawlessness that is demonstrated in the life of Jesus. We know that he was completely innocent of all wrongdoing, and yet he was crucified. This is all going to happen in this very generation. And about 40 years later, Jerusalem was going to be destroyed and its people would be scattered. Everything that God was going to accomplish for the people of the world in terms of salvation would be fulfilled through Jesus, and there would be no need for the distraction of the temple or of Jerusalem. Our eyes must be fully directed to Jesus, who is the creator of the world and whom all things hold together. Humanity might phone it in, but God has never phoned it in. He has always been intently focused on delivering us from the domain of darkness, and for that reason, he sent his Son for our salvation that we might have eternal life. Even scribes and Pharisees would have access to that salvation if only they would turn to Jesus. There are indications that some leaders among these people did. Important people like Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and Joseph of Arimathea, who provided his newly hewn tomb. These were mentioned in the New Testament writings. They were leaders, but Jesus transferred them out of the domain of darkness to his kingdom, the righteous line of Abel. That is what Jesus does for us. We would be inclined to be in that wicked line of Cain, but God has rescued us out of that through his Son Jesus, that we might have life. He makes us righteous through his blood shed on the cross for us. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, you are Lord and Messiah. Help us ever to remember how you have transferred us out of sin and darkness so that we are your own. Gather us and bring us into your kingdom. We pray it all in your holy name, O Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are dealing with illnesses, who need restoration out of COVID, out of other illnesses. We pray for those dealing with cancer, for those who are rehabilitating for surgeries, and we pray that you'd be with them and care for them according to their needs. Lord, we pray for our country and the world as events unfold. We pray that you would protect the world's people from harm and danger. We pray that wise leaders would seek peace and that everywhere, everyone would come to direct their eyes to your Son, our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Our special verse this week comes from the first chapter of Colossians. It is verse 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And I would like to add in verse 17 here, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. All of our verses, all of our scriptures come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
The day thou gavest, Lord, is ended. The darkness falls at thy behest. To thee our morning hymns ascend. Thy praise shall sanctify our rest. We thank thee that thy church unsleeping, while earth rolls onward into light, through and never rest by day.